Well, it's that time of year again. In September, we start thinking about that day at the beginning of the century, 2001, of course, September 11th, and what happened there. America will never be the same. I don't think it's one of those, it's kind of this generation's John Kennedy moments in one way or another. Where were you when? And then the impact of that, and then everything that's happened since. The ramifications are monumental. One of the foremost experts in the world about hard facts, what really went on, what is the truth, what is lies, of course, is Richard Gage, longtime friend of the Power Hour. So good to have him on. AE911truth.org. AE, like architects and engineers, AE911truth.org is the website. Richard Gage, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Daniel. It's an honor to be here with you.
Absolutely. The honor is ours, my friend, what you're doing. Let's get right into it. For people, maybe they don't think about this, but once a year or what have you, or it starts to get, you know, as time goes by, maybe they forget about it, or just, you know, it's just one of those things and terrorists did it, and we just want to believe the story because the truth may be too painful. Let's talk about some of the most influential facts and things that we need to know about 9/11.
Thank you for the opportunity, because this is the time of year that people's ears are open and willing to hear some alternative information, because this information that has brought 3,000 architects and engineers that I represent to the point of demanding publicly on our petition on our website a new investigation of the destruction of all three towers on 9/11. And many people don't even know that there was a third tower. And this is essential to know. Why? Because we have the third worst structural failure in modern history. And by what? No plane hit this building, but fires are said to have brought it down. Well, we look at those fires and we show the architects and engineers those fires. They're few, small, and scattered, and fires have never brought down a skyscraper before 9/11. And so they look at the building coming down, which after witnesses hear explosions, at 5:20 in the afternoon, this 47-story skyscraper drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically, into its own footprint in under 7 seconds, exactly like the old controlled demolitions like we saw in the old hotels in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. It reminds you of Las Vegas. What is the ramifications? What is the official story? Does NIST has anything about this Building 7, the reason that it fell?
Yeah. They have this awkward theory full of holes that these fires were burning at the time of the collapse on floor 13, and they suggest that these fires expanded long span steel beams, pushing a girder off of its seat, causing a progressive collapse inside the building. But there's so many problems, and they have to omit so many structural, actually installed structural elements in the building in order to try to convince other people that this building did fall due to fire, but it could not have, and nobody who really looks at the report is convinced, and everyone who looks at the alternative evidence that we present and that we'll be presenting this weekend, September 10th and 11th in New York and D.C., that these fires are few, small, and scattered. So they can't have caused this collapse in the first place, but when you actually look at what could have, i.e. all of the evidence of molten iron in the basements of the Twin Towers and in the aftermath of Building 7, the extreme temperatures documented by all kinds of agencies exceeding the melting point of iron, which, of course, jet fuel and hydrocarbons, office fires, can't even get to a quarter of the temperatures that have been documented, up to 4,000 degrees it takes to melt steel beams. And that's what Jonathan Barnett, the FEMA author who came out with the first report in May of 2002 with this Appendix C metallurgical examination, document a hot sulfur corrosion attack on the steel, I mean, this is very well documented. This steel is partially evaporated. There's silver dollar-sized holes. Well, office fires don't do this to steel, but thermite does. Thermite is an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. And it's found in the slag on the ends of the beams. It's found in all the World Trade Center dust by the U.S. Geological Survey in their toxicological studies. Billions of previously molten iron microspheres. It's not melted steel. It's molten iron. You know, we haven't used iron in skyscraper construction for like 90 years or so. So this is all evidence of, and there's a lot more, of thermite.
Let me ask you a direct question, a little off the facts here, a little bit off. Your organization, Architects and Engineers, obviously you guys aren't conspiracy theorists with tinfoil hats sitting in your basement. You guys are concerned about exactness, about accuracy, about, you know, the facts, right? Your whole organization has been built on the falsity of this report. The bigness of this, as you get separate from the micro level that you're dealing with, the bigness of what you're saying, you're basically saying that one of the biggest false flags or one of the biggest rouges in the history of the world is 9/11. I mean, when you introduce this to architects or introduce this to people, do they make that jump? I mean, does that wash over them? Does that hit them? Does it stop them from going further? What? Because you can't separate the two of them to me.
Yeah, one leads to the other. The evidence of controlled demolition, which is abundant, clear, we've only begun to touch on it, it leads you to the realization that this is some sort of an inside operation. I mean, who could have had access inside three of the most highly secure buildings in the country outside the Pentagon? We're talking about an incredible, and there was an elevator modernization going on in the Twin Towers, which could have allowed access. Ace Elevator had this contract for the 9 months prior to 9/11. An extraordinary series of coincidences allows people, after reviewing this evidence, to understand, you know, what really happened here. And it keeps people from looking, the thought of a conspiracy, if you will, keeps people from actually looking at the evidence, some of them. Some people will look at it, realizing that that's the potential outcome, and intrepidly enter into it, realizing that out of the Twin Towers, for instance, what else could cause the lateral ejection of freely flying structural steel sections at 80 miles an hour, landing 600 feet in every direction? Gravity works down. And if all the steel, and 90% of it is, 98% of the steel is ejected outside the footprint, and 100% of the concrete is pulverized to a fine powder and ejected outside of the perimeter, that's most of the weight of the building. There's nothing left to drive the rest of the building down, as we're told by NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who was tasked by Congress to explain this to the American people. There's nothing left to drive the rest of the building down. This is an extraordinary, obvious set of physics that is completely overlooked by most. And yet, the rate at which it is driven down, it's not driven down, the structure is removed at a rate almost free-fall acceleration. It's going faster and faster and faster. In 12 seconds, both towers are destroyed at nearly the rate of free fall. Building 7 was at the rate of free fall. So we've got direct evidence in so many arenas that point to a conspiracy that drives people to the brink of turning their worldview upside down, because people can't handle the fact that elements within our government and industry, very highly placed and well-coordinated across the media, which censored all the information that we're beginning to talk about here, including the finding of nanothermite chips throughout all the World Trade Center dust by an international team of scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen, they document in a peer-reviewed paper the findings of these dual-layered red-gray chips, which are composed of nanothermite, meaning iron oxide of crystals and aluminum platelets that are the ingredients of thermite unignited in all the World Trade Center dust. This is not paint, which they at first thought it was. It's extremely exotic. When you put it in a heater, it ignites and it produces what? Spheres, molten iron microspheres with the same chemical signature as that which the U.S. Geological Survey found in all their toxicological studies, up to 10 tons of this material throughout the World Trade Center, and they had no explanation for it. Well, here's the explanation. It's all a self-corroborating, repeatable set of experimental data that could be used to bring these perpetrators, whoever they are, into court and bring justice to the 9/11 family members.
Let's talk about, we got about a little over a minute before the break, and then a long segment coming up, or a short segment coming up. Where is this going? Are we starting to get momentum for a new investigation? I think more and more people every day are starting to wake up to this, although as time goes by, maybe they forget about it. But are we seeing momentum for a new investigation?
Well, if you look at Congress and you look at the mainstream media, you don't see the kind of metrics that we would hope for. But if you look at C-SPAN, which we were interviewed on for 45 minutes, and guess what? It became their number one viewed video of all time on their website. So they haven't invited us back for some reason. But there are elements, there are metrics which do support that we're gaining momentum. More people, at least 50% of the people on the street, are aware that there's an issue. At least a quarter of them already have looked at the evidence and have come to some determination that we need a new investigation.
A quarter?
Yeah.
A quarter. Wow. We're coming on the break. When we see now people don't trust quote-unquote mainstream media, I don't even think mainstream media is mainstream anymore. It's not. It's disconnected from Main Street. And I think a big part of this, obviously Trump's influence is part of it, but 9/11, I think, gave a big part of this population permission to not trust what they're told and look at something else. Kennedy assassination, 9/11. It's like these things are ingrained, become ingrained, where we don't trust everything at face value anymore. I think it's your effort has been central to this. Welcome back to the Power Hour. We're talking to Richard Gage, AE 9/11 Truth, like architects and engineers. AE 9/11truth.org is the website. Catherine, Richard's going to come on after 9/11, after the presentation, too, so we have time to really spend on details. Ladies and gentlemen, you can call in and ask him questions. So, Catherine, make sure you schedule that with Richard, and we'll have a whole time. We've got to keep this information in people's minds and go over it again and just whatever we have to do, throw it in people's face and say, look, this is a lie. Now, what does it mean? Here's the truth. Now, we'll deal with the ramifications. Richard, you're a hero to many, many in our audience. You had a lot of announcements, a lot of things going on this next week, all the festivities. Please tell people how they can support, how they can see you.
There are so many ways to help the 9/11 truth movement gain momentum. And that's important because we've got to wake up the American people. They're sleeping. We have simply got to get the truth of these events which started the 9/11 wars out there. It's extremely important. And there's ways you can do that. All you have to do, for instance, is take the evidence that we've put out there in our DVD, 9/11 Explosive Evidence, Experts Speak Out. It's free on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and search Experts Speak Out. It's a one-hour free version of our video. Send it to everyone, every architect and engineer you can find, everyone else that you know. You know, this is kind of how I started. I woke up about 12 years ago. And I was shocked to learn that there was all this evidence that was being censored by the mainstream media and by our government and by the official reports on these buildings. And as such, that most architects and engineers don't even know that there was a third tower, the third worst structural failure in the world. So we have so many things you can do. Our website is AE911truth.org. On there, you'll find the Bobby McElvain Act. This is draft legislation for a new investigation, which our petition is all about. We're asking everyone of the Power Hour listeners to download that draft legislation, take it to your congressperson locally, and while we do it nationally on Tuesday, the 11th of September, we'll be going to all 535 offices of these congresspersons, and just to find one, we just need one that will introduce it into the House or the Senate. So that's all it takes. Now, this draft legislation is based on the Benghazi Act, and so it will be backed up by the finite element analysis that we've hired the University of Alaska to perform. We're talking a $300,000 contract with them that's 3 years in the making, and guess what? It comes out before the end of the year. So we've got that to back us up, whose preliminary conclusion by Professor Halsey there, the chairman of the civil engineering, one of the most prominent forensic structural engineers in the country, he's already preliminarily concluded that these buildings did not come down due to fire. No way. This will turn the academic and professional industries on its head. And we've got to continue to pay for it because we've got $200,000 paid for, raised by thousands and thousands of supporters. And so you'll find at WTC7evaluation.org an opportunity to contribute there and also to contribute, if you're an engineer, your feedback, because this will be a open report, unlike the NIST report. We'll be encouraging all kinds of feedback in a peer-reviewed process. So we're very excited about all of these opportunities. And if you're in D.C., join us on the Capitol Mall at our big rally right front between the reflecting pool and the Capitol at 2 p.m. at D.C. time. And we'll be joined by several speakers, architects, family members, and Lionel will be there. In the evening event at Bus Boys and Poets at 6:30 in Brooklyn, we'll be having an opportunity with more speakers, including an expert on false flag operations, Oscar Abu Darabini, and we have he's from Argentina. Robert David Steele will be joining us as well, former CIA operative who ran false flag operations, blowing the whistle on the CIA, and we'll be at the White House encouraging President Trump to act on his suspicions that there were bombs in the building, in addition to the plane hitting. So we've got lots of pressure to put on Trump.
Very good. We're coming to the end of the interview. We're going to have you on again soon. Catherine, make sure you get him on. If you already got next week's schedule, try to find next week or the week after. Let's get him on. Let's have a time where we can go over the evidence and go over all these things. This is so important. AE911Truth. AE, like Apple Edward, AE911Truth.org is the website. Richard, you are a hero to so many of us. Thank you for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you, Daniel. The honor is mine.